How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. God is good. And all the time. Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for making time for God. God always makes time for us. And he's always delighted when we make time for him. And so I am grateful for your presence. I say publicly, it is an honor for me to meet with you and for me to have the tremendous responsibility of breaking to you the words of life. It is an honor to speak for God. And so I thank him for that. And my commitment to God tonight is to present to you, thus saith the Lord, and keep all of my opinions to myself. Can you say amen to that? Our subject is words to live by. Now quietly and reverently, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this moment in your presence. Thank you for bringing us safely to this place. Thank you for freedom of worship in this country. Dear God, thanks for life. As we bow in your presence, Father, if there's anything in us, and I mean sin, forgive us, dear God. Sin makes it difficult to understand your word. It also makes it difficult to preach your word. And so cleanse our hearts, dear Father, with the blood of your Son. I ask you to grant to us your Holy Spirit, for he is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Guide me into truth, that I might guide your sons and daughters. I humble myself before you, Father. I want only you to be glorified, but of course, dear God, give us the blessing. I ask you, Father, to pour out a double blessing on all our visitors. Let them be so touched tonight that they will come back tomorrow. Bless this country, dear God. Bless the leaders of this country, particularly the President Rodrigo Duterte. Give him and those who work with him wisdom from above, that the decisions they make may be a blessing to this country. And bless every other country represented by this audience, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. How many of you have children? May I see your hands? Or hands down? How many of you have children who are attending school somewhere? May I see your hands? Your children are in school. I have a question for you. Listen carefully. If your child came home and told you, the teacher told me I am stupid and I will never learn, what would you do? What would you do? I want you to tell me. You do what? You would tell the child the teacher is wrong. Would you try to meet with the teacher at all? What would you tell that teacher? Stop saying that. Why? Why? The teacher did not hit your child, did not shoot your child, did not punish your child, did not throw gutter water on your child. The teacher simply told your child in very, very pure and fine Tagalog, you're stupid. Why would you go bother the teacher? Your child is not bleeding. His arm is not broken. His leg is not fractured. Why would you meet with the teacher? Tell me. But what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Say it again. It's a mean word. What do mean words do? They hurt your feelings, which means words can affect you physiologically. I didn't say that clearly. Let me try it again. If I were to say to a lady, "You are very lovely," and as you sit in that chair, you turn that chair into a throne, describe the look on the lady's face. Come on, tell me. What expression do you imagine would come across her face? A smile. Her immune system would strengthen immediately. Her digestion would even improve. Why? Because I spoke to her good words. Now you tell another lady who walks into church feeling very good about herself. She's wearing a new dress she just bought from a supermarket somewhere. And she comes to church and you tell her, "That's the ugliest dress I have ever seen." You tell me, she may leave the church and never come back. Why? Because she is hurt. She gets depressed. Her blood pressure goes up. The blood rushes to her face and you can see embarrassment. Her mouth goes dry and homicidal thoughts fill her mind about killing you. Why? Because of a word. Words are powerful. The Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Are you with me? Go to Genesis 1. Our subject for tonight is what? Very good. Words to live by. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from verse 1. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. If you have that, you may read with me. If you have another version, just read quietly. We don't want confusion. When you found Genesis 1:1, say amen. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Stop. Imagine the heaven. All the stars. All the planets. All the asteroids. And perhaps heavenly bodies we know nothing about. Think of the earth, the mountains, the streams, the rivers, the lakes, the trees, the animals. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The psalmist tells us, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Peter tells us, in 2 Peter 3, verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." The Bible is very clear. God created heaven and earth. Let's go to verse 2 of Genesis 1. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now stay in verse 2. Let me direct your attention to "without form and void." In the Hebrew it means chaotic and empty. Chaos and emptiness. No order, no design, nothing living. That was the condition. Now, verse 3 of Genesis 1, King James Version, read with me. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now I want you to look at something else. We looked at, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now listen to this expression, "and God saw the light, that it was good." What does that mean? God saw the light. Let me help you by asking this question. Before the light came, did God have some concept in his mind as to what the light would look like, yes or no? Yes, he's God. So God had an idea in his mind what the light would look like. Then the light came. So what the Word produced was exactly, come on, tell me, what was in God's mind. That's why God said, he looked at the light, it's good, because what I had in mind is what came. The Word of God is an expression of the mind of God. One person said amen. Which means you didn't get it, it's my fault. Let me try it again. I'll say it differently. When you read the Bible, you're reading the mind of God. How many wives would like to read their husband's minds? Or how many boyfriends would like to read their girlfriend's minds? God allows us to read his mind by reading his word. Can you say amen? All right. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What I am trying to do tonight is to lift up God's word so high that nothing else can occupy a position above that word. Let me say it again, but I'll say it differently. In Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says, the last half of that verse, though thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. If you take all the names of God, and there are over 300 in the Bible, whether it's Jehovah or El Shaddai or God or Mighty God or whatever it is, you combine all of them, the Bible says God's word is above all his names combined. So if the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and are safe, what do you say about the word of God? Question for you. Is God faithful, yes or no?
Yes.
Is God honest, yes or no?
Yes.
You know how God's faithfulness, his reputation for faithfulness is based on his word. God is faithful because he always keeps his word. Let me tell you something else about God's word by saying something that's not very flattering. Listen carefully. God owes you and me nothing. There are some Christians who feel God is indebted to them. I'm a vegetarian, so God owes me something. No. God owes us nothing. Let me say it differently. God is not obligated to any created being. You know what God is obligated to? To keep his word. Now, if this is the case, if God is obligated to his word, our intelligent decision must be, get his word into us. So when God fulfills his obligation to his word, we are the beneficiaries. I didn't say that clearly. Let me try again. I hope someone has already said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Listen to me carefully. God is not obligated to us. You can return a faithful tithe, a double tithe, one quarter of your salary, one third of your salary. God does not owe you a blade of grass. But he owes his word something. Because his word says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's what his word says. So when you and I return a tithe and we're blessed, we're not blessed because of us. We're blessed because God cannot lie. I'm trying to elevate this. You know why Jesus rose from the grave? The word said so. Didn't the word say that? The word said so. He said so himself. After 3 days, I will rise again. The word said so. And because the word said so, Jesus had to come back from the grave. The same word says, Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The same word of God says that those who rise, blessed are they which have part in the first resurrection. In other words, you die blessed. Are you with me? You rise blessed because the Word said that. Listen to Genesis 1 verse 3 again. What's our subject? Words to live by. Genesis 1 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they sometimes ran into problems. Here's how God dealt with their problems. Let's go to Psalm 107 and we'll read verse 20. Psalm 107 verse 20. Who has it? Who is the first person to find it? No one has found it yet. It's in the Old Testament. Okay. God, 107. Ah, blessings on her. Psalm 107, verse 20. When you found that, say amen. Read with me. What does it say? He sent his word, come on, and healed them. Stop. And delivered them from all the destructions. All right. He sent his word and healed them. Concentrate with me. Here's God on the throne. Where are the Israelites? In the wilderness. The Bible says God sent his word and healed them. That's the Old Testament. Let's look at God doing the same thing in the New Testament. Go to Matthew 8. God sending his word and healing. Matthew 8, we'll read from verse 5. Our subject, words to live by. That book you're holding is the most precious possession you have. Not your car. Not your house. Not your bank account. This. Thank you. What book did I say? Matthew. What chapter? 8. What verse? 5. Let me pray again. Father, as I continue to speak through me, dear Father, have your way with my mind and my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. Read the next verse. Jesus saith unto him, what? I will come and heal him. Think. Who said, I will come and heal him? Who was Jesus? He was the Word. I don't want to move. There's a camera on me. He was the Word. I'll ask the question again. Who was Jesus? Okay. Who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? Yes, but who was Jesus? Yes, Savior. Who was Jesus? God. And so God said what? Look at the verse. God said what? I will come and heal him. God. If God said, I'd like to come to your house, what would you say? Come. Come. It's not a big house, but come. And turn my house into a palace by your presence. Come, Father. God said to that man, I will come and heal him. Verse 8, read with me. The centurion answered and said, Lord, come on. I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Now carefully, read on. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Stop. Where was Jesus? Was Jesus in the man's house? No. How do we know Christ was some distance? Because Christ said, I will come. Are you with me? So he had to travel. I will come. The centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word. What did Psalm 107 verse 20 say? He sent his word and healed them. The same person who did that in Psalm 107 verse 20 is the same person who then sent his word and healed the centurion's servant. There is healing power in the Word of God. What's our subject? Words to live by. Stay in Matthew 8. Let's go to verse 16. Matthew 8, reading verse 16. 25 after 7. Do you have Matthew 8? Verse 16. Read with me if you have my version. What does it say? And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Come on, read carefully now. And he cast out the spirits, come on, with his word. Stop. All right. You like to finish? Finish. All right. Heal all that were sick. Okay. How did Jesus drive out demons? With his word. Not with the bones of an animal and the feather from the tail of a night owl and some cayenne pepper. You know, when I was a boy, I spent a few years on an island where black magic was common. We called it Obia. And as a child, I was familiar with certain things you would do to drive away evil spirits. I won't tell you, but because I heard it discussed. Here's how you get rid of a spirit. Here's how you kill a demon. What does the Bible say? He cast out the spirits with his word. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. God created how? By his word. Matthew 8, verse 8, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The word of God. Let's go to Luke 7. Our subject, words to live by. Luke 7. Now, you're looking at me. I hope we should look at the Bible. This is the power. I want you to leave this place tonight with a different view of the Word of God. Do you have Luke 7? In that chapter, Jesus goes to the house of a Pharisee for dinner. A woman comes with an alabaster box of ointment, anoints his feet, and she cries, wipes his feet with her hair, kisses his feet. In verse 48, of Luke 7. What does the Bible say? And he said unto her, what? Thy sins are forgiven. Question for you. How does God forgive? Now, don't take so long. Listen to what the Bible again. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Question. How did Jesus forgive? By his word. Because if the word doesn't say, it will not happen. There's someone listening to me tonight. One of your problems is guilt. You are burdened by guilt. It's the heaviest burden you can carry. You know, sin is a burden, guilt is heavier. It's heavy. Let's go to 1 John, chapter 1. We read verse 9. It's a very familiar verse. You can say it without looking. Let's say it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to the words again. I'll say it. You listen. If we confess our sins, how do we confess our sins? Words. So we speak our words of confession. Finish what I'm about to say. We speak our words of confession. Come on, tell me. Read my mind. God speaks, come on, his words of forgiveness. Why is it some people never believe they're forgiven? And they carry the guilt that God said, if you confess, I'll forgive. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Let's read verse 3. I want you to concentrate. Think. It's simple. Genesis 1 verse 3, do you have that? Let me pray again. Dear God, I'm coming to the close. Squeeze out the truth through me to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 3, read the first part of that verse for me. And God said, what? Let there be light. Stop. Let there be light. That's all he said. Keep reading. And there was light. Stop. Let there be light. There was light. The word said, let there be light. The word produced the light. If that is the case in creation, it is also the case in forgiveness. Let my daughter be forgiven. And there was forgiveness. As surely as let there be light produces light, let there be forgiveness produces forgiveness, even if your crime is mass murder. Twenty-five years ago, did you kill your husband because he had another girlfriend? You poisoned him. People thought he died of a heart attack. You still carry that guilt? I was preaching somewhere, and this man made a decision to be baptized. He said, I want to talk to you. So we went to the back of the church, and I said, I'm listening. He said, I killed a man 25 years ago. Can God forgive me? I said, yes. There is no sin God does not forgive. His word says that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, meaning you can depend on him to do it. You see this wall? Let me explain God's faithfulness as I talk about that man who killed someone. Let me explain faithfulness. Now I'm going to lean back, okay? Without looking. Are you with me? And that wall, I know that wall won't move. So I lean back, and the wall catches me. I come a little further. And I lean back, and the wall catches me. That's God's word. This is the Bible. These are God's promises. And God said, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive you. And you just read that word, and you lean back, forgiven. God's word does not move. That's why God is faithful to forgive. And just, meaning it's the right thing to do. You missed it. My fault. Let me try again. God is both, you can trust God to do it. He doesn't lie. He doesn't move. It is the right thing for him to do. So he's faithful and just. Because God cannot do something that's not right. And so that man said to me, will God forgive me for committing murder? I said, yes. He forgave Paul. Paul was a murderer. And so we prayed, and he left. I want you to make a commitment tonight. Go to Matthew 4 before I ask for the commitment. Matthew 4. What's our subject? Words to live by. Matthew chapter 4. We'll read from verse 1. Now let me thank you again for coming. I love to see people who love to study God's Word. God bless you for that. Do you have Matthew chapter 4? Reading from verse 1. Read with me. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Pause. Go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Are you there? Let's read 16 and 17. This is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind what the devil said to Jesus. What did he say? If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Focus on if thou be the Son of God. Alright. Matthew 3, 16, 17. Read with me. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Stop. Think. You have to believe that the devil was at that baptism. The devil didn't assign a demon to bother Christ. That was the devil's own assignment. He heard God say, "This is my beloved son." That was the word of God. Now, listen to what he says to Jesus. "If thou be the Son of God," what is he trying to do? Get Jesus to doubt the word of God. And that's our problem. We doubt the word of God. Satan doesn't need you to commit murder and robbery and rape. He just needs you to doubt the word of God. There is no greater insult to God than to doubt his word. Because when you doubt God's word, you call him a liar. And so the tempter said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." And once it is written, it can't be broken. "It is written." Finish it for me. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." 25 to 8. Give me 10 minutes. Is that okay? All right. Listen to Jesus' words again. Listen microscopically. Concentrate as if no one else is in the room but you. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." What did he mean by "man shall not live"? Did he only mean breathe? Are there aspects to a person's life? Yes or no? Name some of those aspects. Come on. All right, there's the academic side. Okay, fine. You go to school. Name another aspect of the life. There's the social side. Uh-huh. Name another one. The what? The what? The physical, yes. There's the academic. There's the physical, the social. Name another one. There's the spiritual. Uh-huh. Name another one. There's the emotional. There's the family side. There's recreational. There's economic. These are all aspects of a life. Listen to Jesus. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." In other words, Christ is saying, live your economic life how? Come on, answer me. Live your economic life how? By every word. Live your spiritual life how? Live your romantic life how? Live your family life how? Live your educational life how? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every aspect of the life should be led by the word of God." What's our subject? Words to live by. Can the devil bless you? Yes. But the devil blesses you the way a farmer fattens a pig. Why does he fatten the pig? For the slaughter. That's how the devil blesses you. When God blesses you, he slims you down. So you can go through the straight and narrow way into his kingdom. Let me close the book to let you know I will not ask for more time. Question for you, don't answer me. Decide. Are you living your life by every word? Don't answer me. Are you in a romantic relationship? Is it by every word? That side. Do you have a family? Do you conduct that family by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Not the chairman of the psychology department of the University of Santa Rosa. All of us. Do we live our lives by every word? Perhaps tomorrow night, as the Holy Ghost speaks to me, I will show you what Jesus meant by every word, more specifically. But for tonight, I want you to leave this place believing Anything God says, He means. Any promise He makes, finish my words, He will keep. You know why? Go to Numbers 23, let's read verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. Our subject, words to live by, and I'm coming to the close. Again, thank you for coming. God bless you. Do you have Numbers 23? Verse 19. Read with me. What does it say? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The answer is what he says, he does. What he speaks, he makes good. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, the very first chapter of the Bible tells us of the creation of light on the first day, the firmament on day two, dry land and water on day three, plus vegetation, sun, moon and stars on day four, fish and birds on day five, land animals and human beings on day six. The Sabbath, day seven. But Father, above all of that is what Genesis chapter 1 teaches. It is the power of the Word of God. Because all of what I just listed was done by the Word. Dear God, many of us suffer because we do not trust your Word. We do not live by your Word, which is the same thing as saying we do not live by truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, tonight, the words I believe you gave me, let them change someone's thinking, dear God, so that that person will purpose in his or her mind from this time forth to live by the Word of God, which does not fail. The Word that creates, the Word that heals, the Word that casts the devil out of our lives. As we leave this place tonight, let not idle conversation snatch the words from our minds. Let us meditate, dear God, on what we've heard. Let angels escort everyone to his or her destination. Let that angel stand guard at their bedside, that they may sleep safely. Bring us back tomorrow night, Father, to hear your word again. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.